The following is brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network, home to many great podcasts, including Turnbuckle Throwbacks, Two and a Half Wrestlers, Inconclusive Breakdown, Neckbreaker, Thursday Night Destruction, The Midnight Jury, After Midnight, and of course, The Shining Wizards. Available on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, and at ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
Times Man of the Year. Well, not quite. Mr. Morality, Bob Backlund.
Hush, hush.
Shh. First of all, King, I don't need any encomiums from anybody. I know what I am, and I walk tall, and I know where the plebeians stand out in this world. And I've got a message for you to send to your friend, Mr. McMahon.
Listen to the people that are telling Bob how long you have to stay on a bull.
No, I don't think 8 seconds is what they're saying.
That's all you have to stay on a bull.
And when I'm out here articulating with the plebeians, I don't use Malaquapism. I know exactly what's coming from my mouth. I know the axioms that flow from between my orbicularis oris muscle. Do you understand? The second thing I came out here to articulate about was your hitman, your representative. He's one of you. He's one of you people. I admit that. You deserve him. I'm better than he is.
Oh, no.
I proved it. Now you have to come up to my level. And when I got the chicken wing on him, it was like I had the chicken wing on every one of you people that cheat in life and that lie and use squalid language in front of your children. And Hitman, I understand you're coming back. And anytime you want more of the chicken wing, I'm happy to get into the ring with you. And the last thing I came out here to discuss with you people was your man, Diesel.
Oh, boy.
This will be interesting.
Did you have the guts to come out and shake my hand like a man?
Tell him, Bob.
And he procured what meant more to me than anything, because I wanted to represent the way it should be represented. And I wanted to bring you people up so you can be successful in life.
He just wants what's best for all of us.
Kevin Nash, you're like a Neanderthal.
Did you hear that, McMahon? Kevin Nash?
Yeah.
You know who that is?
No! You're like the Tyrannosaurus Rex of that.
You know who he's describing?
Yes.
But do you know what happened to the Tyrannosaurus? Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Guess who told Bob all that stuff, huh?
Do you know?
He congratulations.
And stepped on everybody in the world. All his predators. He destroyed them.
Big Daddy Cool, we got your number.
The Tyrannosaurus Rex went extinct.
What a matchup that's going to be, ladies and gentlemen. Bob Backlund squaring off against Big Daddy Cool Diesel with Shawn Michaels.
What this network needs, this network gets. I promise you that.
The opinions you love. The history you crave. This is Rant EM Radio.
Recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
The Shining Wizards Network proudly presents
the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast
with your hosts,
the Impact Playa, Phil Rea, and Dave Mega Powers.
Gentlemen, children of all ages, no, not children of all ages, we still use potty mouth here.
It's really old people that are listening to this show.
That's right, your new recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. From the current to the way back, we are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. As always, your gracious host, the Impact Player, Mr. Phil Ray, and I'm joined by...
Mean Mega Powers.
Mean Mega Powers. Dave, we're live... on Rant EM Radio.
Or I could be Mega the Refrigerator Powers.
Ah, there you go. I like
How's
that.
That.
I like that. I like that. I like that. All right. I don't have a football pun. Maybe I'll have one before the night's end.
I think they're all used in tonight's throwback. So
they
we
are.
Can't really
they are.
Go any further than that.
Yeah, pretty much. Rant EM Radio, Rant Entertainment Media is the place. As always, we are a Shining Wizards Network production. How are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. How's everything with you?
It's going, man. Finally got back to normal, some normalcy as of late last evening.
Because what? You were snowed in at your job, and they gave you a place to stay or something like that?
Yeah, you know what? It's
a hammock or a cot.
Oh, please. The thing is, for those who don't live in the tri-state area, I use mass transit to get to work, and I live on the outer borough, which takes me sometimes between an hour and a half or 2 hours to get to work. So
not the guy that New Jack stabbed a bunch of times.
Right, right. No, yeah, not that mass transit, the Metropolitan Transit Authority of New York City. So, you know, they predict this nor'easter, this blizzard, you know, 17 feet of snow above between here and New England, and, like, this is happening Sunday night. So, I pack a bag. I mean, the thing is, you know, when you work for an emergency medical system, we're 24/7. So, all hands on deck. Whoever can stay, can stay. If not, you know, you can't.
So, wait, you guys don't get, like, a vacation or something? You can't tell these dying people, like, hey, hold on, I need to get some rest.
I can. Most of the time, it depends on who's available. So, now, I pack a bag because I knew that if this blizzard was supposed to be happening, that they were going to shut down the city. And if they shut down the city, I have no way of getting home. So, and if I get home before they shut down the city, I was not able to come in for my next shift, which was the following morning. So I just stayed there, you know, and
wow.
So here's the funny thing, though, before we get into any news or anything. So now, you know, I work for the biggest hospital in New York City, number 6 in the country. And the director, what he'll do is, if there's a disaster, like, you know, like the last time with Sandy or something crazy like a blizzard, they have the Helmsley Tower, which is down the block. Not Hunter Hearst Helmsley, but the Sherman Helmsley Tower? The Sherman Helmsley Tower. They give 2 rooms, one for male, one for females. Now people who stayed can stay in these rooms, in these upscale rooms, and it's, you know, alternate. So my boss tells me, yeah, man, I got a room at the Helmsley. So me and my buddy are like, this is great. You guys all know Will from Tattoos and Touchdowns. So it's myself and Will, and we're going to get a room. This is great. So Will and I get off at the same time, go across the street, get ourselves a nice sandwich. Phil, go upstairs, kick off our shoes, play some cards, and call it a night. You know, it's been a long day. Dude, I get up there. It's like a Turkish bathhouse. There's like 8 dudes up there. I'm like, yo, there's no room for us here. Oh, well, so-and-so said we can have the room. So-and-so said, oh, I'm holding a bed for somebody. You're holding a bed for somebody? You guys are queer. I am leaving. So I took Will and I took our bags, went back to our office, got a couple of cots, went to the lobby. They gave us meal tickets and blankets and sheets and stuff. And that's what we did, man. We hung out in our office. We did our thing, and we crashed out there. So I didn't get
you a spoon together and had a good night's rest.
Yeah, it's pretty much it. And then I didn't really rest because those things are terrible, man. I don't care. You can put as many cushions as you want. Sleeping on those cots are god-awful, man. People who do it in the military, God bless you. I got about 45 minutes of sleep. But that's about, you know, it is what it is. I came home, slept in the
storm. You need to get some hammocks.
I thought about that. We can probably work that out. The hospital won't pay for it, but I'm sure that we can get it.
It's just rope.
Oh, yeah, no, we'll get it. You know. And the guys are going, you stay in the training center. The training center is like right across the street from the main ramp where the ambulances go. So that's what I want to do. I want to sleep next to a door and inhale diesel fumes. I'm like, you guys are geniuses. I'm definitely not doing that. So needless to say, we did not get bombarded with snow, although parts of New York did. New England got destroyed, which is why they canceled Raw on Monday night.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much where we are. We got maybe almost a foot, not really that much. And parts of Jersey got hit pretty bad. I know South Jersey got hit bad.
Mm.
And my brother is out east on Long Island. He got really bad to the point where he's like, they had to shovel them out. So...
My area wasn't bad at all, and I was really pissed because my job told me, like, oh, you know, if Chris Christie's the governor of New Jersey is, you know, declaring a state of emergency, then we have to close down early, and, you know, things are still bad the next day. You know, we got to close down shop, and you guys got to work from home. I was cool with that. But then turned out to be nothing, and everybody that was working from home couldn't even – we could barely connect, you know, to our workstations. And, you know, the system that we used to get most of our work done, we had, like, no access to. But our boss said, hey, still do whatever you can until 6 o'clock. So I'm sitting in front of a computer waiting to do stuff for 8 hours, and you know, for an hour period, I probably would work for 10 minutes, but I had to wait in front of my computer if something popped up for me to do. And that's my rant for this evening.
So needless to say, we didn't get snowed in. The best part about the entire process was that when they closed the city off at 11 o'clock.
Fritos sales went through the roof.
They closed the city off at 11 o'clock, which gave sanitation enough time to clean up the streets and the roads, and it gave the MTA enough time to, if they had stuff on their tracks, to get that stuff going, and Amtrak.
Which they never have enough time to do.
Well, you know what? They did, because everything opened shortly before noon the next day. So, I mean, and then the kids got a free day of school, and I don't know if you guys don't know, but in New York, they never close schools down. It's like the 12th time in like 40 years. that the schools have been closed. So the kids got a snow day. People who worked in government buildings and offices and banks got the day off, and I was stuck at work babysitting. So that's what I do, and that's pretty much it. So
all for nothing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it is what it is, man. It is what it is. We
You know, at the same time, if they didn't do anything, you know, they would be in deep shit for not trying to take any action.
Well, that's my point. People are crying on social media. Oh, this is crazy. The mayor's a retard. No, the mayor's not retarded. The mayor is
Mayor's covering his ass.
Right. He's scared to get stuff going on. So,
yo, people don't realize, like, when you're in, you know, positions of like high power, especially if you're making like six figures or more, like, you got to fucking work for that money. It's not like being handed out, like somebody sitting at a desk, just making decisions. I'm sure there are some people like that, but for the most part, it's like, you fucking got to be like on all day, and you have to work past, you have to work past whatever your regularly scheduled hours are, because, you know, if you fucking slack and, you know, whether you're running a city or running a company or something like that, like, if you don't go the extra mile, you know, even if it's going to cause some gray hairs or something like that, like, you know, you're not going to get that money. You're not going to have, you know, whatever little security you get from being in that high pressure situation job, you know?
It's funny because I don't care what side of the plate you're on, you know, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, you have to, like Dave has said, you have to cover your ass. It's like a thing where, you know, you're in charge of over 10 million people, and it's
who don't want to do shit.
It's the center of the universe in terms of politics and money and everything else. Everybody wants to come here and come through here. So, I mean,
if you ever come through New York, if you've never been to New York, and you walk any of the streets, it's very clear to see who has money and who doesn't. And who's feigning that they have money. And but regardless, everybody's there.
All right.
They want to be there.
It's true.
Square Garden.
let's get into some programming notes. This Friday live on The Rant, January 30th at 9 p.m. is the first annual Ranty Awards. Several of us are up for one, so go vote. Go to rantemradio.com, click on the vote now. If you're in the chat room, scroll down and vote. On this Sunday is Super Bowl Sunday, which is the theme of our show tonight. It's a football theme for wrestling. We'll get into that later on.
Apparently, they're covering the Super Bowl on the Rants.
They always do, actually. So
I didn't know that. I thought it was just wrestling.
No. We're pop culture, kid. As a matter of fact, the Rant did a pop culture show last night. They did not talk wrestling last night.
Wow.
Join Surfer from the What Are You Reading comic book show and Mr. Will I Am Morgan from the Wrestling Call-In show. I'm sorry, did I say that? Oh, no, I'm sorry. Surfer's on the What Are You Reading comic book show, right? And Will was on the Wrestling Call-In show. And they're going to be co-hosting the...
How dare you say that guy's name in reference to his show on our show.
They're going to be hosting a Super Bowl pre-show beginning at 4 p.m. And then after the game, around 9:30, 10 o'clock our time, they're going to be doing a post-show. If you're a football fan, it should be a really good game. I'm pretty excited. We have a party here, so whoever's local want to come by, check us out.
You know what I'm going to be doing on Super Bowl Sunday, Phil?
What are you going to be doing, my man?
I'm going to be watching wrestling.
Okay.
Fuck football.
Well, that's what I normally do.
So, it's funny because I'm the one that brought up the Raw Bowl so we can, you know, segue into the Super Bowl. But in reality, I have no interest in football whatsoever.
Well, that's what makes this episode special. And you took it away from me. I was going to make that a point when we got to the throwback, but you beat me to it, so congratulations. Yes.
Thank you.
Dave is not a sports fan, so I'm not going to get... Dave doesn't care who wins this weekend. We're pulling for the Seahawks here. And that's pretty much it with this.
All I know is that a bunch of people want the Patriots to lose.
Yeah, well, that's because of their quarterback.
Because they're losers?
No, because they're cheaters, apparently. And nobody.
Hey, man, what did Bobby the Brain Heenan always say? If you can, lose if you must, but always cheat.
Yep, that's right. All right, so here we are. It's the end of January, which you know what that means. That means it's WrestleMania season. That means the Royal Rumble has come and gone. That also means Black History Month for you, all you guys. That's right. The Black Achiever Awards are next month, and Dave and I will be dedicating the entire month of throwbacks, all 28 days, to our African-American wrestlers who either dominated or didn't dominate. It's a tribute to them. So
we might even have a special Delivery Jones episode. Who knows?
Who knows? You just have
to we haven't even thought of who we're going to do for next month, and it's starting next week.
It's not that hard, dude. There's
plenty of black guys.
You and I have done programming in 5 minutes. Actually, we programmed a month's worth of programming in 10 minutes. So
I think that's what we did for the last Black History Month.
I don't think it's going to be a problem. But tune in to Rant EM Radio. Go to ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. All new shows up there as well. Speaking of shows on the Shining Wizards Network, this Saturday night, Pro Wrestling Syndicate at the Rollway Rec Center, Rollway, New Jersey. The Midnight Jury will be doing a live podcast from there. So if you're going, go check out Mike and Adam and say hello. They're going to be interviewing the world champ over there for PWS, Fala Ba, along with his manager, Shining Edward Jackson. And I'm hearing there's going to be some turnbuckle throwback signs in the audience, apparently.
I hope so.
Yeah, apparently that's what I'm hearing. That's the rumor I'm hearing.
I hope there's going to be some Jersey All-Pro signs in the crowd, too.
And then, you know, go check that out. And, you know, we are new T-shirts, prowrestlingtees.com/turnbuckle throwbacks. There's 4 designs up there right now, the newest one being the New Japan parody shirt. Go get that.
I need to pick that one up.
Damn right you do. Damn right you do.
It's my shirt.
Yeah, it's pretty much. It is your shirt, actually.
Yeah.
So go check that out. Go help out the show. Proceeds of the purchases go to the shitty show that we have. And,
hey, this is a great show. We're the number one show on both the Rant and Shining Wizards Network. How great is that?
That is pretty cool. All right. You want
to get... beat the namesake of both networks for the number one spot. You better damn believe this is the best fucking show on the planet.
I don't have any news per se, except that Arnold Schwarzenegger is getting into the Celebrity Wing of the Hall of Fame this year. How do you feel about that?
I feel it's 100% appropriate. Arnold Schwarzenegger has been a big wrestling fan over the years. He's supported the product since the 70s when he used to work out with superstar Billy Graham, Bruno Sammartino. You know, the man is a throwback from way back. He was even presented on, I believe it was an episode of SmackDown by Triple H. His own, I believe it was McMahon who gave him the belt. But his own honorary WWF heavyweight championship.
Yeah, he smacked Triple H in the face that night, too.
Yeah.
Pretty fresh. I have no other notes. I mean, I really didn't. Honestly, wrestling was not on my on my plate these last couple of days, this last week. And I just got into – I just want to really just do a quick rant about the page for a second. I posted something yesterday, and I didn't want to come off like I was being a Debbie Downer or a douchebag, but I set out for a certain format for the show, and I think our connection to the fans is pretty cool. We talk to we're friends on social media with almost all of our closest fans, which I think is cool, and we have a really good relationship with these guys, and they give us lots of feedback, and they support us in every way, and we appreciate that. They buy our shirts. They call in from different countries, from different regions, from different time zones. Totally appreciate it. I'm just getting a lot of stuff on Threads that I'm just not comfortable with. You know, guys are just back talking to the guys and like taking stuff the wrong way. They're not conversing the way they should. There's name calling and it's all dumb. It's really not.
It's all over just complaining about the current product for WWE and. You know, frankly, you can do that anywhere, but, you know, for our show, our page, it's meant, you know, strictly for throwback material. And, the tagline is from the current to the way back.
Right.
But, you know, when we talk about current stuff, you know, we want to keep it to indies or stuff that's happening in Japan. We don't want to report on the same shit that everybody else is talking about. You know, like we did the... everybody from the Rant shows got together to do the Rumble pre-show, and you know I kind of said it pretty bluntly. You know I don't really have much of an opinion on the show because a lot of that stuff has already been leaked out, and you know, and when it's leaked out, and not only that, but when other guys are leaking out the information, then the show goes down and they're complaining about the show. It's like, well, you kind of shot yourself in the foot right there just for, you know, ruining your own experience of the program. And, you know, I can't help that. And, you know, by talking about it endlessly throughout the day, you know, I'm at work and I'm seeing, you know, seeing these messages and, you know, it's fun to jump in on the conversation. But when it's just like all the time, man, it's kind of like, hey, you knew what you were getting into. If you don't like what you're watching, like, I hate to say it because nobody's going to listen. But if you don't like what's happening, then don't watch it. And if you really don't know what's happening, because there's a lot of guys who they're doing all the above stuff that I mentioned, and then they go around and say, like, oh, you know, the internet wrestling community's fucked up. It's like, hey, man, you're doing all the stuff that, you know, you're complaining about. So, you know, a lot of hypocrisy there, but I think we had to wipe the board clean. You know, I don't want to spend too much time talking about this, but, you know, at the end of the day, we want this to be a fun experience, not just for us, but for everybody. And frankly, I'd rather go back to posting stupid photos of wrestlers from the 80s and posting up, you know, some like crazy shoot fights with Vader and Ken Shamrock in a cage in Japan out of nowhere, as opposed to, you know, moaning and groaning about Roman Reigns.
Yeah, and that's another thing. It's common knowledge that I follow the current product more than Dave does. I don't expect Dave to give me a feedback on anything. If Dave sees something that he liked or dislikes, he'll tell me. He's actually watched Raw a few times in the last year, not on my request anyway. He's actually watched a few pay-per-views on my recommendation. When we talk about the current, like Dave mentioned, it's me and it's him doing the indies, or it's New Japan. Mostly New Japan and the indies.
Yeah, mainly New Japan.
And that's mainly what's happening. It's not... I don't want to see memes up there. Like I have family on the page posting shit, and they don't listen to the show. That's another thing that you know chaps my ass. Like I have a friend, and I don't want to blow a spot up. I love him to death, but I know for a fact he doesn't listen to the show. Okay, he does not listen to the show, and he'll say, "Can I get your opinion on this?" Not 12 hours ago, I spoke about it on the show.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, somebody posted like a thread or an article like breaking news, and instead of them reading the page, they'll take the same link or a similar link to some bullshit website and they'll post it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make any sense to me. I'm like, read the fucking page first. And it it shouldn't bother me, but I don't expect every single person to listen to the show. But, you know, this, I want to keep a certain format. If we lose a couple of listeners over that, then, you know, I'm sorry, but this is the way I've been doing it for 3 years. And if you don't get it now, you're never going to get it. You know what I'm saying? That kind of thing. I don't want to be a dick. I don't want to say don't listen or fuck you, because I love all the fans. We have huge, huge, like, fan base. And we have guys, you know, cross-referencing on networks and guys who support different shows. Guys who have their own networks that support our shows. It's that kind of vibe. And I want to keep that vibe and keep that relationship with all our fans. I'm just going to control what goes on the page now. That's it. That's the bottom line. I don't want to see nothing about fucking Roman Reigns or John Cena or stupid memes about Stephanie McMahon. I can give a shit, okay? We know the product sucks, and like Dave said, if you don't like it, don't watch it. Don't use my page as a soundboard for something that nobody else gives a shit about, you know? That's the bottom line.
Yeah, you're basically just, you know, preaching to the choir. And, you know, again, like I said, you can find all the moaning and groaning you want on everybody else's page. So, I hate for things to be, you know, too strict over here. But I'd rather it be strict in the sense that, you know, hey, we're going to have fun and just roll with it.
Yeah, I got you.
Because, you know, like you mentioned, you know, a lot of this stuff shouldn't be bothering us. But, you know, when it's like when you see it just day in and day out, it's kind of like, all right, man, you know, how many times can you beat this dead horse? You know, I'd rather just, you know, find out more about the stuff that we love.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, spending, you know, it's like this, you know, say, you're at a shitty ass job that you hate. You hate seeing the people that you work with. You hate doing the thing that you do. And a friend of yours says to you, hey, why don't you apply to this job? I know somebody there and they can get you in. But then you just like don't do anything about, you know, applying to that job or whatever. You know, it's the same thing. It's kind of like if you can get yourself out of that hole, you know, get out of it.
Right. And I love the current stuff. I called into the Wizards on the other night.
Mm-hmm.
To talk about the current stuff, talked about the Rumble, which we'll talk about in a minute. I had a 45-minute conversation with our boy Harry in the UK, you know, about nonsense, about the current stuff. You know, so it's not like a thing where I don't talk about it. I just don't want to make it – I don't want to flood my page with nonsense.
Yeah.
You know? And that's pretty much it, man. And we have some pretty loyal fans, and we appreciate all of you. And we're pretty lucky because we're surrounded by such amazing people. I mean, talented people, too. Like, we have guys making designs for us, and we have guys making, you know, fucking T-shirts for us, and guys sending us clips, and, you know.
Yeah, I had Matt send us a bunch of Brell quotes.
Yeah, they're all here.
No Holds Barred. One of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah, they're all here, Dave. Yeah, here's one for you.
Are you trying to tell me my money's not good enough for you? I find that a little hard to swallow, you jock ass!
Hey, jock ass. I opened up at one of the clips. But, you know, again, I'm not trying to offend anybody. I just want to keep the page, you know, running smoothly. There's no more admins on the page because nobody, you know,
does anything.
Right, exactly. So... let's say hello to everybody in the chat room. I saw Harry in there. Hello, Harry. Thanks for hanging out with us. It's like, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning there. Big Tone. Shining Wizards Tony. Hello, sir. Good evening to
you. Plus his Mule Club shirt.
Yeah.
Even though he doesn't belong to the Mule Club, he still wants that shirt.
I'm not posting any more shirts until guys start buying shirts. I mean, we have 4 shirts available. We sold maybe a dozen. Other than that, that's it. So until I sell more shirts, unless, you know, we'll do something with it, but.
You know, we get all these thousands of subscribers and listeners a week. We need to sell some more shirts.
Yeah. Let's see. Pastor Sadell, hello, sir, to you.
I'm going to have to put some shirts in my car trunk and sell them out of there.
What the hell is this? Kyrie 52? Oh, I guess Kyrie Irving's going nuts for the Cavaliers, I'm assuming, if that's Mr. X posting a basketball.
It has nothing to do with that Mr. song, Kyrie Lays On.
Curie. Oh, no. That's Mr., isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. You know what I was speaking of 80s, you know what I was listening to the other day? Berlin's Greatest Hits.
Berlin was pretty damn good. I've actually been listening to some tracks off of the Top Gun soundtrack lately.
Yeah, no, you got to hear the Metro, and then you got to hear, hold on a second, we have breaking news from the street here. Turnbuckle Throwbacks, good evening. Turnbuckle Throwbacks, good evening.
Touchdown!
Maniac Matt, the man on the street. What's up, brother?
Hey, how you guys doing? Hey, we're just getting ready for the Super Bowl this weekend, and we're out at Canton, Ohio.
Ah.
We've got a whole bunch of festivities going on out here. Hey, we got the Varsity Club out here, guys. Meet the Varsity Club. Meet them. We've also got Mongo out here with Pepe.
Oh,
come out here and pet Pepe Mongo and take the Halliburton Challenge. You can do that. We've got the Spirit Squad out here with a cheer off.
All right.
Yeah. Hey, test your skills with the Gene Snitsky baby kicking field goal contest.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Hey, see how far you can get it out there.
Hey.
And for all you gambling degenerates out there, we dusted off the York Foundation computer. And we're running the spread on all the games through the York Foundation computer. We've got all your odds. We've got all the stats. And speaking of spread, we've got a spread of food out here. And let me tell you, the Dave Mega Powers White Weasel Wings are delicious.
Oh, come on.
Nice.
So come on out here, throw some footballs, catch some footballs, and join us out here for Turnbuckle Throwbacks out here at Canton, Ohio.
Who are you rooting for this weekend, sir?
I've got to go with little baby Jesus, Tom Brady.
All right. Patriots maniac Matt Marshall, the man on the street. Thank you, sir.
He knows the cheating team is going to be the winning team.
All right.
That's right. Hey, that's why I'm with winners, and that's why I'm with Turnbuckle Throwbacks. I'll see you guys later.
God bless, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Wow, Maniac Matt Marshall, the man on the street.
Who would have thought that he's all the way in Canton, Ohio?
Yeah. Oh, now I know. My app is going off here. Kyrie Irving explodes to 55 points. Oh, wow. Good for them. All right. All right, Dave. So you were at my house for the Royal Rumble this weekend.
Yes, I was. And I beat Rage at, WWE 2K15, which was pretty much the same game as WWE 2K14 and 2K13. And
don't tell my 7-year-old that. Do we do that to keep him happy? I have no interest in it.
Hey, man, you know, I don't mind. It has a new roster, and I got to brush off my old skills from 2K14 and whip some ass.
Yeah, shout out to Rage, by the way. It was nice of him to come out. We had a good time.
And he wasn't as douchey as he comes off.
Nah, he's a good kid. He's a good kid. I told everybody that anyway. They give him shit because he's, you know, and who wasn't a dick?
He's Young Buck.
Yeah, who else?
He's learning the ropes.
I'm sure you were a huge prick at his age.
Well, some people say I still am.
Yeah, well, that list is long but distinguished, my friend. All right. Cesaro and Tyson Kidd beat Kofi Kingston and Big E. The Ascension beat the Outlaws. The Usos beat Miz Dow to retain their titles. The Bella Twins beat Paige and Natalya. The match of the night, let's get into this for a second, Brock Lesnar defeating both Seth Rollins and John Cena to retain the World Heavyweight Championship and Triple Threat. This match saved the card from being a total disaster.
And yeah, it was just filled with a lot of tag matches that didn't really gain too much interest. Keep in mind, the early Rumbles had filler matches too. But for who we are, we enjoyed those filler matches, and because they had all the top guys in the Rumble, and there was nobody really pulling any double duties, very rarely. I don't know, but just this time around, I guess it just has to do with the mentality in the back right now. Everybody's on pins and needles. They're trying to do their best, but, within a limited range, and, it's all right. The opening matches and stuff, but, it was really the World Heavyweight title match, that really caught my eye. And I believe everybody else too. Actually, funny enough, what was it? I was on the phone with a friend of mine on Monday. He is not a wrestling. Well, he used to be a wrestling fan when he was. He's a bit older than me. He, would watch WCCW when he was a kid. The Von Erichs and stuff like that. And he was a fan of that stuff. But he doesn't watch any new stuff. But when he was on the phone with me, he happened to have Monday Night Raw on, which, featured the World Heavyweight title match as well as the Rumble. And I just thought it was funny because this guy was just like doing play-by-play for me for the World Heavyweight title match. Keep in mind, the guy's not like, does not watch wrestling on a regular. And the guy's like a very, he is my meditation energy, a spiritual teacher for the last like almost 10 years. So if you want some bit about my background, I do have a meditation and spiritual background, and this guy's been teaching me for 10 years. And it was just funny hearing this guy do the play-by-play for me over the phone and trying to get their names right, too. He kept calling Seth Rollins Steve Rollins, and he kept calling Brock Lesnar Rock Lesnar.
Well, I thought it was a good match, and I thought even Cena looked good. I thought it elevated Seth Rollins to where he should be. And, of course, Brock Lesnar is believable.
Yeah.
And like I was telling Eddie and Tony the other night, there's a disconnect with the fans and the product. And we don't have to cry about how bad Raw is and how bad it's been the last couple of years. We know it's bad. But there's like a legit disconnect with the fans and the product, because they keep pushing away from the wrestling aspect of it, and they want to make it more entertainment, which, mm-hmm. That's been Vince's vision for the last 35 years. So now that it's finally come to fruition and he monopolized it, it is what it is. You just have to be a better wrestling fan and take the chicken shit and make chicken salad out of it and get and pick out all your spots, or just listen to us talk about all the good shit that happened back in the day or do both, if time allows you. So the Rumble match was pretty predictable. Nice to see Bubba Ray back. Got a nice pop. DDP did some good stuff in there. He was 106 years old.
Yeah, man. You know, I'll say the man still looks great. He was a lot more agile than I'm sure a lot of people would expect from him. But hey, man, DDP yoga works. I've been hitting that more regularly. Been more flexible using that stuff. Build enough muscle mass to finally do my first pull up. About a year ago.
Ah, delicious. Good for you, man.
Yeah, man. You know, DDP yoga isn't just yoga, man. It's it's a full body workout. A lot of body weight workouts. You don't need any weights. No weights involved, as he says in the video. But I thought a lot of the surprise entrants were pretty good this time. Like, they weren't a complete surprise. I know you mentioned that there's a disconnect with the fans. I think it really just comes down to a lot of people know what's going to happen before they even get into the arena or watch it on television. And that's what it really just comes down to, you know. How am I going to be excited for a program that I know what's going to happen before it even happens?
Yeah, I try to stay away from the dirt sheets.
Yeah, man.
Only because I just want to be entertained more than I normally am. You know what I'm saying?
I have to cut you off real quick. We have a fan of ours who wants to know how to listen to the show on their phone.
You could download the TuneIn app. TuneIn, T-U-N-E-N, TuneIn, and type in Rant Entertainment Media, and you'll listen, download the app and do it like that. That's it. Awesome. It was on your phone. Your smartphone, your tablet device, all that good shit. I think we only have one Facebook question, and that was from our boy Harry. It pertains to the Raw Rumble. It's because The Rock showed up and helped Roman Reigns win the fucking thing.
Yeah.
Do you think
he's related to him, too.
Oh, it's his cousin, yeah. Do you think The Rock showing up was just a one-shot deal, or do you think he'll be involved heading into Mania? If he's staying for a bit, what do you think of him at Mania? P.S., is it safe for us to say Reigns fans come out of the hiding yet? Listen, Roman Reigns can talk, believe it or not. On Raw, they interviewed him, and he's actually pretty well-spoken when you don't put the chains on him.
Yeah. He's had some good promos when he was in the Shield. I remember him having a pretty good interview with my girl Renee on an episode of Main Event some time back.
Steve's baby mama.
Yeah, it just really comes down to time and place. You know, a lot of these guys don't really get to express themselves the way they want. You know, I was listening to the Stone Cold podcast. Thanks to Mr. X for getting me back on the podcast one track with JR and Stone Cold and Jericho and all that. And you know, even Stone Cold says, you know, a lot of people. Get on the commentator's case and stuff like that, and, you know, for just cause, but at the same time, you know, they're being told what to do. And same thing with these guys, you know, they're being told what to do. I'm pretty sure even John Cena, you know, for as much clout as that man has in the company, he's not the boss. He doesn't run the show. And Vince is always going to have that final say, you know, whether for better or for worse. And, guy's got a lot more experience under his belt than we do. So, you can't deny that. The network, you can queue up a Brell quote if you want here. But it has reached 1 million subscribers. And I know a lot of people are, questioning whether or not that's a real number or not. But, you know, WWE is a publicly traded company, so wouldn't make any sense for them to give out false information, you know, especially when there are a lot of shareholders out there, you know, whether you have one piece of stock or not, they still have to answer to all the people that actually own the company.
This one's for you.
What this network needs, this network gets.
And we got 1 million subscribers.
Okay. So if he's the next guy, and I've mentioned this already, I don't have a problem with him. I don't.
He seems like a totally fine wrestler, you know. He does seem like he will be a top guy, but it's just a matter of, you know, we talked about this at your place. It's not about these guys not being talented or anything, because, you know, I paid to see Dean Ambrose back when he was John Moxley, you know, for Dragon Gate USA, for Evolve. Yeah. Unfortunately, I did not see him in CCW. If I did, I don't remember.
If he's the next guy, I don't have a problem with him. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't have
but,
a problem with him.
But, you know, a lot of people, you know, this is the thing, you know, a lot of the fans were moaning and groaning for these guys to be on the top of the card, and they got their wish.
Right.
But now that these guys are at the top of the card, these same fans are still moaning and groaning.
Right.
But, you know, the fact of the matter is, you know, the reason why guys like Hogan, Macho Man, Flair, all of them, why they are who they are, it's because they built a reputation. And that reputation wasn't built overnight. You know, granted, Hogan, what, you know, he won his first World Heavyweight title upon his return to the WWF, but, you know, the man had already built up a reputation all around the world, so when he came back to the WWF, one of his original homes, you know, he was, people remembered who he was, and they were really glad that, you know, he made the face change, and he was the guy to make, you know, to make the, you know, lead of the company, and, you know, he carried the company on his shoulders for a long time, and guys like Hogan, you know, even though they were kind of like almost handed the World Heavyweight title first time around, you know, he had to prove himself. And the guy was already in the industry for quite a while at that point. You know, a lot of these guys, they're not around for like 10 years before they're getting the big push in the WWE. And, you know, they're getting pushed pretty quick. You know, granted, these guys have a great working knowledge of how to put together a match and stuff like that. But, you know, it's just a different era, you know, different perception from the fans. Fans kind of say one thing and then react another way. Kind of like, some people we talked about before.
Yeah. I just,
but, you know, it's going to work itself out. It's just, you know, it's a rough patch, and, these guys are uber talented, and they're going to figure out their way to the top, to legitimately be at the top, you know, one way or another. You can't be put into a situation. Well, let me rephrase myself before I go any further. When you're in a situation like that, it's either fight or flight. And these guys have been around a decent amount of time where I believe that they'll make good on their promise of being an excellent professional wrestler.
I agree. And I just think the fans need to ease up and accept what's been done. And, you know, if you don't like it, don't watch it. It's the same thing when you go to, you know, is it a band that you follow or a show that you follow on television? They have that jump the shark moment where the show just goes downhill when they add characters or somebody leaves or somebody dies, whatever it is.
You can watch King Kong as many times as you want. But that monkey is falling off the fucking Empire State Building and dying at the end.
That's pretty much that's the bottom line. So
you can watch that movie that you've seen a million times, but guess what? Every time you see it, it's still going to be the same ending.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and there you have alternatives. You know, you have Impact, you have Lucha Underground, you have your local indies, you have Pro Wrestling Center.
Amen.
Yeah, you have New Japan.
It's a fucking dream time right now. You know, yeah. New Japan Pro Wrestling is on American television with English commentary on Access.
Yep.
Our listener, Nick German, I don't know how to pronounce this man's last name, but he was asking, you know, they got an MMA event on Access TV this coming Friday, so it's preempting New Japan Pro Wrestling. You know, are they still on the air? What's going on? You know, they still have their 13-week contract.
Yeah, 13 weeks.
You know, if it's a live mixed martial arts event, you know, of course they're going to preempt whatever's on television for something that's live.
They used to preempt Raw for the dog show.
Yeah.
You know, so it happens, man. Get a grip.
Yeah, so, and that's why they showed two episodes of New Japan last week, so it's kind of like to make up for missing it this week. But they're going to continue on after this week with new episodes of New Japan Pro Wrestling, And I got to say, I'm up to speed with all three episodes. They are fantastic. Some of these matches I haven't seen before. You know, because, hey, man, you know, when a lot of this stuff was going on, I'm buying them one by one on IVP, put them over a bit. And, you know, it's hard to, you know, as cheap as those DVDs are, you know, it's tough trying to keep track of everything that's going on. They have a bunch of, they've been having, you know, all these live events on Daily Motion. You know, I'm a big fan of just watching it on TV. But, you know, this is a dream time. New Japan Pro Wrestling's on Access. They have the 13 episodes going. I do have some news concerning their state on Access. Access is actually not a Nielsen provided or rated television station, so they can't keep track. You know, there's no Nielsen ratings on New Japan Pro Wrestling, but Access does have a means of you know, tracking how many people are watching the show. The first episode did exceed their expectations. They got a lot of positive feedback for the first episode, but didn't get as much feedback for the second and third episode. You know, that's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, sometimes when people just are enjoying what they're seeing, sometimes they just don't say anything. It's kind of like when you're at work and everything's going right. Boss isn't really going to say anything. When something bad's happening, of course, they're going to pull out a tirade of everything that's going wrong. But
TV is like, and radio are like the emergency medical services in New York. They're not a proactive field. They're a reactive field. They
just exactly.
They wait for something bad to happen in order for good things to happen. So that's that's a good segue. All right, listen, let's take a quick break. We have a pretty cool throwback for you tonight. We may even take some calls because it's not really a big card. So we don't have to spend a whole bunch of time on it. So if Dave and I fill up to it, we'll take some calls. But ladies and gentlemen, we are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast live on rantemradio.com.
We are live.
We are a Shining Wizards Network production as always. Let's take a break, plug our friends and ourselves. We'll be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
As soon as you know what our show, head on over to ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. That's right, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com for 10 awesome shows. You have the After Midnight Podcast, the Midnight Jury Podcast, Thursday Night Destruction, the Neckbreaker Podcast, the Inconclusive Breakdown Podcast, Apex Radio, part of Apex Wrestling Entertainment, the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, 2.5 Wrestlers, King of the Indies Podcast, and of course, the Shining Wizards. So what are you waiting for? ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. It's entertainment here. Hey kids, we got t-shirts. That's right, we're selling t-shirts on ProWrestlingTees.com. Go to ProWrestlingTees.com/TurnbuckleThrowbacks for 4 fresh designs. We have the original logo with an artwork by Dean Stoll. We have the Turnbuckle Throwbacks NES design. We have the British-inspired World of Sport logo and the New Japan Pro Wrestling logo parody. So what are you waiting for, guys? Go to ProWrestlingTees.com/TurnbuckleThrowbacks. Buy a shirt. Buy a shirt. Buy a shirt, man.
GeeksOfTheIndustry.com. With such fantastic programming as Chattastrophe, Pro Wrestling Nation, Two for Flinching, Sleeve Notes, Wrestling with Smut, Cart Glitch International, The Mega Powers Radio Podcast, and the flagship Geeks of the Industry. Go to GeeksOfTheIndustry.com now.
Rant Entertainment Media, that's right. Go to rantemradio.com for some fantastic programming. Every Tuesday live at 8 p.m. you have The Rant with AA and Tony C. Every Wednesday night you have the Turnbuckle Throwbacks live with Phil Rea, the Impact Player, and Dave Megapowers. Every Thursday evening you have The Rexplex at 7 p.m. and Rant and Wrestling at 9 p.m. Every Saturday evening live at 11 p.m., Mr. Will I Am Morgan with the Wrestling Call-In Show. every Sunday, live at 5 p.m., it's the What Are You Reading comic book show with Jordan Surfer, and a weekly visit from the Lex Experience podcast. It's the hit. It's the opinions you love, the history you crave. It's Rant EM Radio.
World Wrestling Federation Rawbo. Yes, folks, it's finally here. The bowl game of bowl games. The step daddy with the Mac daddy of them all. The band is playing. The cheerleaders are cheering. Coach Blassie has given his final pep talk. Dandy Doc is walking the lot. Jimbo Jim is waiting to talk. The field has been laid. The Rawbo Queen has been crowned. Four teams, eight superstars will battle it out on one field, vying for the trophy. A galaxy of stars has been assembled. Big Daddy Cool, yes, Diesel is here, along with King Mabel. Gold Dust is here. The Nacho Man is here.
Who?
The Huckster is here.
The what?
Scheme Gene is here.
Well, I got a bone to pick with that guy.
Even Billionaire Ted is here.
What's he doing here?
They're all here for the very first World Wrestling Federation Raw.
How about that? You like that, huh?
Oh, man. This is actually probably the only good thing that WWE did in 1996.
I like the intro.
Oh, man. I was excited as shit when this episode first aired.
Yeah, so was I.
But granted, again, as I mentioned earlier, I am not a football fan.
But
I probably was when I was a kid. But, with Troy Aikman and Dan Marino back in those days. But nowadays...
But without me looking anything up, didn't they do a halftime show one time for a real Super Bowl?
That was Rock versus Mankind in an empty arena match.
That's right. Okay. I wasn't...
I think that was actually part of Sunday Night Heat.
Yeah, well, because it was on Sunday night. Yeah.
That makes
perfect sense.
Before Sunday night, he was just the jobber show.
Yeah, before he went to MTV, right?
MTV is where it started.
Okay.
I think it was originally on MTV, and then it moved it to TNN or Spike.
Yeah.
Whatever was around at that time.
All right. I mean, it was a weird time, to say the least.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can. What was that good? I want to find something here. When you said this to me originally, because I thought we were gonna do something else, and I was like, no. Dave's like, we already did that.
Yeah, you wanted to do what was it, the Bunkhouse Stampede? And I was like, we already did that.
Right. Yeah. So I was like, you know what? Yeah, this is good. So, all right, let's get right into it.
And now, here is your throwback of the week, sponsored by the Shining Wizards Network and Rant EM Radio.
All right. All right, we're taking it back to January of 1996.
January 1st, too, right?
Happy New Year, everybody. Yes, it was January 1st, 1996. There's a guy on YouTube that posted every one of these in a row.
Yeah, which, it's funny because I was looking for it on the network because I was like, they got to have more episodes from 96 because previously they only just had the episode with Warrior trash talking Goldust leading into their match at, I think it was at King of the Ring. So it's like, they've been putting up tons of Tuesday Night Titans every week. Like, there's like, you know, they'll trickle down, like they're doing a better job of trickling out more episodes for everything. Like, they're not like blowing their load in one in one shot. Like, they're just like 1 week they'll have like a few more episodes of a certain show. And I noticed for Tuesday Night Titans, they unloaded like another like 20 episodes or 30 episodes or something like that. But it's still not the full, you know, range of the show. But I noticed for 96 for Raw, they put up a bunch of episodes, but they don't have the Raw Bowl, which I found kind of strange. I'm not sure specifically why it was exempt from being put on the 96, you know, season of Raw on the network, but it's not there. But luckily I was able to find it on YouTube.
As was I, after you sent it to me, and somebody else has chronologically put them all up there.
Yeah.
All right, so this is the Raw Bowl. Obviously, it's a football-themed show for Monday Night Raw. And, of course, your commentators are Vince McMahon and Jerry the King Lawler, throwing all sorts of football puns.
For an hour, I don't know how these guys were able to pull out of their ass enough football puns for 1 hour of pro wrestling.
Yeah, it was weird.
Literally, it was like literally every line that they were spewing out was a football pun an hour.
It's true.
And it wasn't just them. It was like anybody that was on that show. Like, they had like a halftime report with Doc Hendricks.
Yeah, we'll get into that. I actually wrote it down. So let's get into the first match. Your first match was a Survivor Series type tag team elimination match.
No, it was more of a...
Well, every team for themselves, I guess.
Fatal four-way.
Yeah, fatal four-way.
It was the Raw Bowl match, the one and only Raw Bowl match.
All wrestlers in their football gear.
Yeah, they all had their jerseys and
eye makeup and stuff.
Yeah, the makeup and stuff, and it was pretty much like a four-way tag elimination. You know, if one team member got pinned, submitted, counted out, disqualified, the whole team was eliminated until like the last team. Last team survived. The only real difference to make it a Raw Bowl match was that there were timeouts allowed.
Right.
Which actually were expertly used in this match, but we'll get into that.
Earl Hebner dressed up as a referee.
Earl Hebner was dressed as a referee. I forgot what they had like a specific name for him.
I totally forgot.
Yeah. It's like Head Enforcer or something like that.
Smoking Guns, Owen Hart and Yokozuna, Razor Ramon and Savio Vega. They called Savio Vega the free agent tag team partner. At this point, the Kid and Razor had split up, and the Kid went to Ted DiBiase's Million Dollar Team,
which is one of the worst stables, in my opinion.
And then, of course, Psycho Sid and the 1-2-3 Kid with Ted DiBiase. Razor and Savio Vega make their way out, and Gold Dust's Usher hands Razor Ramon a bouquet of flowers, and that didn't sit well with Razor as he beat up the Usher.
Homophobia was in full effect for the bad guy.
Yep.
Because keep in mind, you know, Goldust, you know, had just debuted. He was a new face in WWE. WWF, rather. Let's keep it right. We're putting the F back in WWF.
That's right. Dave always mentions the new generation. This was the catchphrase at this point.
The new generation.
The new generation.
So what's it called? So Razor Ramon is not happy about this, because when Goldust first arrived on the scene, you know, obviously this was a very very strange character who was quoting all these movies and had a very, I don't want to say just an androgynous side, but you weren't sure if he was gay or straight. Right. And you weren't sure if what he was saying was done for the intent of psychology, which worked out perfectly, or if the guy was really gay or not. And of course, everybody remembered, you know, this, everybody knew it was Dustin Rhodes from WCW. He was the natural not too long ago.
That's right.
He was in WCW in 95. But, you know, this was like a drastic shift. Everybody, if you were a smart wrestling fan, you knew it was Dustin Rhodes. But nobody expected him to turn out like this in the WWF.
No, it was a good character. I always enjoyed Goldust.
Yeah.
Okay.
At first, I was very hesitant to appreciate the character, but you know, as it played out, it made more and more sense. And this was like, you know, the guy still Goldust to this day. Yeah, so it just goes to show the longevity of that character.
Plus, he's really good in the ring too. That helped him. So
continues to improve.
Yeah, with age too, so it's pretty cool. And he's a Rhodes, so you can't beat that. All right, so elimination rules, fatal four way, as Dave said before.
But the tag belts are not on the line. No, keep in mind, Smoking Guns are the tag team champions at this point.
Right. You want to get into the whole timeout thing before we get into the whole first
fall?
Yeah.
Yeah, with the whole timeout thing, like, timeouts could be called at any point in the match. They didn't really specify if it was like the legal man who had to make the timeout or if it was the partner. But what's it called? The first use of this in the match was when Razor Ramon was getting an upper hand on the 1-2-3 kid. And Razor Ramon goes for the fall away slam. Kid calls for a timeout. So umpire Earl Hebner, you know, is blowing the whistle, telling Razor Ramon he's got to back off. Razor Ramon does not give two shits. It throws the kid up in the Razor's Edge and drops him down. So, you know, Earl Hebner is like up in arms, like, hey, it's timeout. You're not supposed to be wrestling during a timeout. So Million Dollar Man jumps up on the apron, you know, catches, you know, Razor Ramon's attention, you know, distracts the referee. Sid gets in the ring, comes steaming behind Razor Ramon with a clothesline to the back of the head. And 1-2-3 kid... Sid pulls the kid
Razor, yeah,
and he gets the first fall. Razor Ramon and Savio Vega are out.
Yeah, commercial break, comes back. Another botch spot. Yokozuna goes to squash. I believe it was one of the Smoking Guns.
It was Billy Gunn,
right? And he's actually has his back turned, and they pull Billy Gunn out, Yoke, and Owen's there, but he's not even like on his back; he's on his belly.
Yeah.
So Yoko squashes him instead, and that gets the them the pinfall on them.
Yeah, and Yokozuna was trying to go for the timeout.
Right.
While he's out on the apron, the referee, Earl Hebner, did not see the timeout, so continues the pinfall. And Smoking Guns have eliminated Yokozuna and Owen Hart, who, funny enough, would go down to beat them later on down the road and pick up the their first world tag team championship together.
Jim Cornette, Mr. Fuji at ringside. Teddy DiBiase representing the Million Dollar Corporation. So now at this point, we're on the commercial break. Come back. Razor Ramon. I'm sorry. The kid is on the top rope looking to do a spot with Sid. And Razor Ramon interferes and comes back and tosses the kid off the top turnbuckle into Sid, knocks Sid over. Billy Gunn gets the pin for the win, and the Smoking Guns win the tag team trophy title, whatever they call it.
The first ever Raw Bowl. And they did win a trophy. They won the Lombardi Trophy,
We'll talk about that in a few minutes. We'll get to that. Okay.
They won the Lombardi Trophy.
So more football puns. They go now to the halftime show, which is...
The Wrigley's Halftime Report.
Sponsored
with Doc
by Wrigley Spearmint Gum. Dandy Doc Hendricks, Michael P.S. Hayes' halftime show, sponsored by Wrigley's.
I have to ask you a question.
Sure.
How fucking corny was... Michael PSAs at this point.
You know what? I really didn't realize that until we started watching this for the show. It was like, and you could tell he was reading off the cue cards. Like you could, like his eyes were never really fixated on the front camera. His eyes were constantly on the script. So you knew he was reading this going, I can't believe they're making me do this shit.
Yeah, they made him cut his hair.
Right.
First of all.
Right.
You know, granted, you know, I'm pretty sure the man chose his name, a name like Doc Hendricks. I remember like hearing it was a, is it Jimi Hendrix? And I forgot who the other like, artist was that he used to kind of like piece these names together. Here's a little fun fact for you. There's a lot of Raws where, Michael P.S. Hayes, I mean, Doc Hendricks would, open up Raw with his band performing. And they would do like Bad Street USA. They'd perform other songs.
Now, is that the same band he recorded that song with?
I don't think so. I don't know who the musicians were for that original album. But he would have a band, you know, that were visible on Raw. You know, performing songs like they would, you know, it's kind of like similar to like the Nitro Girls, you know. Let me rephrase myself. Not completely similar. They would show the Nitro Girls doing like their performance, but for you know, Doc Hendricks and his band, like they would just like come back from commercial break or something like that. You know, they would just be, you know, entertaining the audience, you know, for that, you know, 2 minute spot, you know, before they got back on the air.
Right.
Or they would just kind of like, you know, they were just really there to really you know, get everybody excited to be at a wrestling match. You know, what's more exciting than hearing fucking Doc Hendricks sing some shitty ass songs?
Right. So Doc has the halftime show sponsored by Wrigley Spearmint Gum. 2 minute clock. He plugs Mabel and Diesel for the Royal for the main event for the evening,
which was one of the worst SummerSlam main events.
Well, no, this was the main event for tonight.
Yeah, but they had a match.
Oh yeah, they did. They
SummerSlam '95.
Right. Okay. Then they go to Jumbo Jim Ross, who was trying to get an interview with Diesel, but could not. But he said, he quotes Diesel as saying, he'll kick the king's can. And they plugged the Royal Rumble, where Bret was defending the title against The Undertaker. And let's see, Double J was going to... Yeah, you know, they kept making, like, they kept comparing all the guys to college football rivalries. And then Ahmed Johnson's going to fight Jeff Jarrett at the Rumble. They showed a spot of Jarrett just slamming... what's his face? Ahmed Johnson with a, I think it was a guitar or a record or something. I forget what it was.
Yeah.
So now they go to commercial break. The Nacho Man says, the Nacho Man pops up with the whoosh and says, keep watching WWF. And we'll get into Billionaire Ted in a minute.
Yeah, but he snapped and said Slim Jim so hard he hurt himself.
He hurt himself, yes. Yeah. So now we come back, and your next match is a pig slop match. Hillbilly Jim, as you guessed.
The hog pen match.
I'm sorry. Pig, hog, same shit. Hog pen match.
Well, there was a lot of shit in this match.
It was. Hillbilly Jim is your special guest referee. Henry Godwin fighting a undefeated Hunter Hearst Helmsley at this point. Triple H is fairly new still to the company. He's playing the, you know, that role. The
Well, it was at this point where, what was it? No. I was about to say that this was around the time that they were giving him like the shitty, you know, angles and stuff like that, and he had to build himself back up. But Diesel was still around, so the click, you know, hadn't dispersed for WCW at this point.
This is not,
at least not just yet.
Yeah, is he still
very
new,
soon?
He's still new to the company, and you know, I think the aristocrat gimmick was where he cut his teeth and where he got, you know, his personality. So he fights this this hog slop match.
This was already from the In Your House pay-per-view that aired.
Right,
this
In Your House
pay-per-view. Long after this.
Right, so
for this.
The object of the match is, the objective is to throw your opponent into the slop. That's pretty much how you win the match. Godwin does eventually get tossed after a bunch of out of the ring spots. But you know, obviously the match doesn't end there. Triple H is still undefeated, but Godwin gets his revenge, and you have to mess up the pretty boy's clothes. So Godwin does a press slam into the slop, and then he body slams him into the slop for good measure.
Yeah, which was, you know, on WWF, whenever they do stuff like that, it's always authentic.
Right.
So that was like actual like pig shit and stuff like that they had in there.
Right.
They actually had pigs in there running around. you know, as part of the game. You know, Henry Godwin at this point was, I think he was already like, or on his way to becoming a tag team champion.
Yeah, didn't they do like Southern Justice with Jeff Jarrett after this and some other shit? I forget.
Yeah, that was, but that was down years line, later.
Right? Yeah. Okay.
But what's it called? You know, this was just like still one guy when WWF wrestlers were doing odd jobs. Like you had your Duke the Dumpster Drosies, you had your TL Hoppers, you had your goons, and you had Henry Godwin, who was a fucking pig farmer by trade, as well as a professional wrestler. And, you know, when I was a kid watching this, granted, a lot of people were giving WCW shit for just having WWF's old guys. And, you know, guys like Hogan and Flair were too old and stuff like that. But, man, the product for WCW was just light years ahead of the WWF.
Oh, yeah,
and
at this point, sure.
Yeah, and granted, you know, this is a really fun episode. This was totally them doing something that they would do. You look in the early 90s for a Saturday night's main event, like the Oktoberfest episodes, sure.
Yeah,
or Halloween or whatever.
Yeah, it was fun. I enjoyed it.
But it was very clear that this was just like it had that way of expressing their product was just kind of like outdated. And as fun as this episode was, like that match in particular was just kind of like nothing totally exciting. I remember when I watched it on pay-per-view, I just wanted to see Hunter Hearst Helmsley go into the slop. And you get that. It's an okay match. You know, nothing to write home about. I thought it was interesting that they aired a pay-per-view match on an episode of Raw, especially when it was a unique episode like the Raw Bowl.
Yeah, well, they obviously didn't have enough. I mean, they probably just showed that for filler. I mean, it was, you know, they didn't have an entire card dedicated to these gimmick matches for Super Bowl, you know?
Yeah, so it may have been like a programming thing on their ends, but oh wait, was it Harry was asking how come Brother Love kept popping up on the screen?
Oh, Brother Love was Brother Love was given his testimonials,
his pep speech.
Yeah, his pep speeches backstage for all his guys he was rooting for. He was showing some love and giving a. You see, Harry, here in the States, we have these a lot of teams. They get in their locker rooms and they get those prayers going and they get the preacher guys. And some teams even have their own clergy. I know, like Notre Dame, here the college football team, they have like priests and shit that come in and give the guys blessings and stuff like that. So,
but who's that one? Was it the Panthers who had Ric Flair come in?
Ric Flair came in, and yeah, of course. But I'm talking about like legit, like men of clergy, like legit guys of the cloth would come in, and like teams have clergy. Some Catholic colleges have it. I mentioned Notre Dame has it. A bunch of teams have it.
You know, we need to have Pastor Seidel do a wrestling sermon.
Oh yeah,
on our show.
Yeah,
the guy keeps coming on here. You know, say like, hey man, you know, I'll call in next week. Doesn't do it, but he wants the Amen theme to be playing when he's around.
So yeah, Pastor Seidel, if you're listening, if you want to come on and do like a
wrestling sermon.
A wrestling sermon, yeah, that'd be dope.
Wrestling mass.
A wrestling mass, yeah. Oh man, can you imagine?
That'd be off the hook. The guy does it every week at his church or clergy.
Him
or
and his wife do it, but we would definitely like to have Pastor come on and do that. That'd be
pretty cool. Man. You know, he was born to do this, and we want to get his ass on the show. And really lay it down, especially with Black History Month coming on. Last time I checked, he's black.
Yeah.
Have him come on here and tear shit up.
Yeah, so let's work on that. All right.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a promo for Bret Hart versus the Bulldog at In Your House.
Another pay-per-view match from the same event that they're going to be putting on next week.
And they plug Hakushi, too, which I'm,
Hakushi against what? Jeff Jarrett?
Yeah. Mr. X goes confession week on Turnbuckle Throwbacks. That's pretty cool. All right.
Well, Mr. X had some confessions on a post that I mentioned last week.
Yeah, I remember that. That's pretty funny.
So maybe he can call into Pastor Seidel.
All right.
Promise that it's going to be confidential.
Your main event of the evening, King Mabel fighting Big Daddy Cool Diesel. This is... terrible, actually.
I think it was perfect because SummerSlam 95 match was worse than this.
Right.
At least they got to the point with this one.
Right. So Mabel doesn't even get his gear off yet. I don't even think there's a bell.
Actually, before you get into the match, I don't know if you noticed this, but did you take a peek at some of the jobbers that were carrying him to the ring?
I didn't even notice, and I should have.
Yeah, man. What was it? I know all the old school fans love, whenever there's a king for the WWF.
Yeah, of course.
They always have them brought to the ring on a throne carried by jobbers.
Right.
And, happened with Haku. They did it with Macho King.
Did it with Harley Race.
I don't think they did it for Duggan. I think Duggan was above that.
The common king.
But, they did it with all the kings. And King Mabel was the last. I think they even did it with Jerry Lawler, too, if I remember correctly. But King Mabel was the last guy that they did it with. And one of the things that really got him over as a heel, not just because, he was Mabel from Men on a Mission, and then all of a sudden, his top of the card, which was strange for a lot of people, look at today's ranks. But anyway, not to get off track, but one of the things that really pissed me off as a kid watching King Mabel come to the ring was the guy was like 500 pounds, was sitting on this throne, and it didn't really matter how many jobbers were carrying this guy. They all had that look of anguish on their face that they had to walk, this fucking fat ass, former tag team champion that won his tag belt on accident, that they had to bring his ass to the ring. They had all that anguish in their face, bringing him down. And when I looked down to see who the jobbers were for this episode, I saw the Hardy Boys.
Oh shit!
Yeah.
Wow.
So we'll post up a link to the Raw Bowl.
Yeah, we've got
to
watch.
You can get a nice glimpse of Jeff Hardy looking like he's about to shit his intestines because he's one of like three other guys lifting King Mabel, 500-pound man, on their shoulders to the ring.
So Mabel's going to get his gear off. Diesel attacks him. I don't even think there's a bell. King mentions that actually, and then goes for the. Dolls bounces Big Mabel off the ropes with the big boot.
Didn't even take his crown off.
He didn't take his crown off, and Diesel gets the win. And then Sir Mo comes in and gets powerbombed for his interference. And then they announce Diesel as the first entrant in the upcoming Royal Rumble. And then he walks off with that Miss Raw chick, that Ashley chick that was at ringside.
Yeah, what was her? I think it was like Ashley Madison, if that's not like a brand name that I'm saying.
So Pass is saying next week. All right, Pass is going to call in next week, and then Pass is going to open up Black History Month next week.
Yes.
So February 4th, I'm actually working that day, but I'll be home by like 8 o'clock, so I'll be ready to roll. I did a mutual. Awesome. So I'll be home. We will get it going. We'll hook up a pastor before then, and then he'll do his testimonial. He'll open up Black History Month for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, and he'll
and can tell us what Black History Month of wrestling means to him.
That is awesome. All right, so Dave mentioned, Vince McMahon cuts it to the back where the Smoking Guns were to get their Lombardi Trophy, some rinky dinky fucking trophy that was given by the Brooklyn Brawler. Says to them, he's like, listen, man, here's a real trophy or something stupid like that. He gives
here's the Lombardi Trophy, and they're all like looking, like all the guys that are in the back celebrating with the Smoking Guns are like, what the fuck is this? It's just like, it was literally a trophy that had like a printout of Steve Lombardi, the Brooklyn Brawler's face on it. He's handing them the trophy, and they're like, what the fuck is this? So they just throw it on the ground and destroy it.
Yeah. So they knock him to the floor, and they take their sponsor, which is Lipton Brisk Iced Tea, and they dump a whole cooler of iced tea on him.
He takes a Lipton Brisk Iced Tea bath.
And then Billionaire Ted. So now at this point, there's a bidding war, and now Ted Turner wants to open up wrestling, and he's pushing WCW now. A year into the wars, And Vince feels he's going to take a shot. So he gets this mock conference room, gets a guy dressed up like Ted Turner, calls him Billionaire Ted. There's Scheme Gene. There's the Nacho Man. There's the Huckster, right? Vince Russo's dressed up as one of the corporate guys. And there's a bunch of vignettes. And this was one of them. So and they wanted, you know, what do we do? And we want to be different. He wants to be different. And
hey, man, why don't you get on the top rope? And Hogan's like, brother, at my age, my feet don't even leave the floor.
Yeah, they asked Macho Man to do something. They asked the Nacho Man. He's like, no, I can't do that. And then
one of those guys that's part of the Billionaire Ted's Wrestling War Room was Vince Russo.
I just said that.
Oh, I wasn't paying attention.
Right. So Billionaire Ted goes, what can you guys do? And they start doing the poses, and they start playing some kind of cheap ECW
surf music.
Dick Dale surf music, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and that's how, and then it says WWF, the new generation. And that was your Raw for that time.
Wait a second. You forgot something.
What did I forget?
Always forgetting stuff, Phil.
Just my notes.
They announced some of the participants of the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, and who cares?
And there was one man who was going to make his debut at the Royal Rumble of 1996.
Right. Big Van Vader.
Yes, this was the debut of Vader.
The master.
They were showing just like a vignette of Vader training, doing some moonsaults, and I was extremely happy to hear this news. I legit thought he was going to take the Rumble, you know, right then and there.
I got to tell you, you know how I feel about it, about Big Van Vader. So I was, me too, I was very, 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 very happy to hear that.
Yeah. I got to say, 1996, actually, I said that this was probably the best thing that he did in 96. There were some big things. That was the dawn of the age of Stone Cold. If I remember correctly, what was it? 96 Survivor Series. It was him versus Bret Hart for the first time. Or I don't know if it was the first time, but it was like the match that really put Stone Cold on the map and the fans turned on Bret Hart. So 96 was a pivotal year for them. Granted, it really, they weren't beating WCW, but this was a year for change that was going to really cement WWF, back as the top wrestling promotion.
Right. So I guess we have a few minutes before we head out. Let's take some calls. 718-878-6394. 718-878-6394. Or if you want to Skype in, Skype is Throwbacks and Awfulness, all one word. So you guys want to – I know Harry wanted to call in. He said a couple guys – we got a live chat room tonight. So you guys want to call in? If not, we'll talk a few minutes, and then we'll pull this train in and call it a night.
Yeah. Actually, while we're waiting to see if we get any calls, do have some more New Japan news. They broke 20,000 subscribers to New Japan World, which is a big deal because, even with the internet wrestling community getting pretty much whatever they want these days – it's still a lot of people that are still opting for Daily Motion and YouTube and stuff like that. And, it's really nice to hear that people are putting their money where their mouth is. And, heard their server even broke down. They have like an influx of subscribers coming in. Granted, they were shooting for 40K by time, Wrestle Kingdom 9, rolled around. But, I think 20,000 is a pretty good start for New Japan World. And they actually do have a free section with a ton of matches on there. They have AJ Styles' match winning the IWGP Heavyweight Championship to Okada from Invasion Attack.
Right.
They got a lot of great free stuff on there. And once you subscribe, the world is your oyster. Actually, was it last night I was watching the January 18th Fantastica Mania event, because there's like a little tour that they do with some of the stars of CMLL in Japan. And it's all real, just like lucha-based performances and stuff like that. And they have some of the legends like Atlantis come out, Volador Jr., Mephisto, who was revealed as the latest Bullet Club Latin America team member. And, you know, just really fun stuff that's on there. You know, they have the individual matches. They have the full cards available at the fans' disposal. Stuff from all the way their inception of, I believe it was 72 to now. And amazing stuff happening with them. They actually have a live event this coming Friday, the 30th. Granted, it's going to be like at 2 o'clock in the morning, but it's the Road to the New Beginning, which leads to you know, their tour leading into their pay-per-view called New Beginning. It's going to be mainly tag matches, but they normally have like a lot of tag matches leading into a big event where they have more of the singles matches. So just awesome, awesome shit that's going on.
Yeah, definitely.
New Japan.
Definitely check that out Saturday morning.
Yes.
Yeah, I get excited now because I get to watch it, so it's pretty cool. And they don't, you know, it's they don't come short of coming correct. They do a really good job. So, all right, 718-878-6394. 718-878-6394. Throwbacks and awfulness. We're giving you guys like 5 more minutes. If not, I'm calling it a night. And be back next week for Black History Month. It's going to be a big month for us.
And really? Pastor Seidel says he's ready for next week.
So I'll have his music all queued up, and we'll put some music behind him as he preaches. And
he even did a hashtag wrestling at the Chase.
That's what I'm talking about. All right.
We're going to have to go way back after, well, even during Black History Month, because, you know, for me, I find more the older talent, you know, from the 60s and 70s and stuff like that, a bit more fascinating than some of the guys today.
Yeah, it's a different time, and plus it's, you know, it's... They tell a better story, let's be honest.
Yeah, man.
Turbical Throwbacks, you're on the air.
Hi, mate. How you doing?
What's up, Harry?
Hey, good time, yeah. Hey.
Dude, what time is it over there, like?
It's 26 minutes past 3.
Jesus Christ, man.
Oh, it's cool. I've already been asleep, so I'm fine.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, I really enjoyed this Raw Bowl. It's the first time I've watched any WWF from back then, so it's quite cool.
Now, as a younger fan, and we talked about this on Saturday, last Saturday, you see the contrast of how things evolved to now, and the reason why you have stuff now is because of crazy stuff like that. I think it was inevitable that this stuff happened now to have that feel of what back then. But it was a bit hokey, but fun to watch in the same breath. Now that you're older, you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah, I think. Back when I was a kid, I wouldn't have enjoyed it as much. But I thought it was cool to see all the old guys and, well, old guys, they were young then. But the pop Razor got was much bigger than Diesel. I was surprised at that.
Well, much better wrestling. Yeah. Much better wrestling,
well,
too.
What was it? Diesel is kind of regarded as one of the least drawing champions that WWF has had. And that's kind of like a known fact. Like the guy, you know... As popular as he wasn't that popular.
It baffles me that they never put the strap on Razor, though.
Yeah.
Baffles me.
They gave him like 6 Intercontinental title reigns, but not 1 World Heavyweight title reign.
Yeah, why? I mean, the guy was... I mean, Scott Hall was an amazing talent.
Yeah.
He was so great for a big man. He gets his due, finally, but he was always the second fiddle. You know, he always had the... He was the guy who said... He mean the ladder matches, the stuff he did with the kid and Michaels. I mean, just like classic stuff.
That's another thing I've never watched. Never watched WrestleMania 10. I've got to watch that. Now I've got the network.
What?
You gotta watch WrestleMania
You've
10.
You've never seen WrestleMania 10. Wow.
We're gonna be doing that in March, actually.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, but and I think the Midnight Jury's doing it too. So I mean, you'll get two different perspectives too, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But 10 was fun, man. 10 was a fun card, especially Savage and Crush.
Was that Owen versus Bret at 10?
Owen versus Bret, yes, it was.
Oh, right. Oh,
that's cool. That was actually the first match of the card.
Yep, and then Diesel, Sean and Razor did the ladder match.
Yeah.
So that's, and it's on every DVD, so.
Yeah.
So, all right. What's up?
Do you mind me just talking about the Rumble a minute? I won't go on too much.
No, go ahead, man.
I heard a great point on Don Tony's show this morning. I listened to the download. And like Kevin Castle was saying, it's not Reigns' fault, all this backlash and whatever. So, and he's not Batista. He's not a really shit human being. He seems like a really cool guy and whatever. And I just thought I'd put my defending piece forward. So,
again, if he's the next guy, I don't have a problem with it. I know Dave doesn't have a problem with it. And I think fans need to just step back and take it all in or don't watch it. I mean, you can't have your cake and eat it too. They're not going to listen to everything we have to say, obviously. They're not going to respond to every single thing we suggest to these guys. They can throw all the polls they want on the internet. They can throw all the social media active crap on the. It doesn't matter. It's what they want, and that's it. If he's the guy, if he's going to be the next flagship, then let him have it. You know, he's got a look to him. He's actually halfway decent on a microphone when he's sitting in a room with Michael Cole like he was on Monday. You know,
yeah, he sounded great.
Yeah, I mean, so there's again, it's evolution. Okay, not every guy is going to start off like a superstar. You know, even if you have NXT experience, even if you cut your teeth in the indies for 10 years, they want a certain look. They want you to act a certain way. They want you to be a certain way, and that's the bottom line. And it's almost like I don't know. It's a crazy comparison, but let's say you own a racehorse, and you breed horses, and you have these racehorses, and you breed them to race a certain way, and you want them to go a certain way, go a certain speed, and your jockey has to be a certain size. It's the same thing, you know. Yeah. You're grooming your investment. That's what makes you your money. They're going to put this guy on T-shirts, on cereal boxes, on toys, on everything and anything. And, you know, if he's the guy, again, let it go.
I think the biggest thing for me is that we did it last year. We got Daniel Bryan the title shot. What makes you think we can do it again this year? You know, they're going to listen to the fans. I don't think they will. And it's not like Daniel Bryan's going to go away anytime soon, unless he really is hurt genuine, but... He'll get another title shot one day.
Yeah, and that guy's taken a beat in the last couple of years. Let's be honest. I mean, he's not used to having those kind of matches, man. He's a strong style, stiff guy, but he's done some crazy shit. And you know what? It's half his fault and half not his fault. I mean, listen, you're absolutely right. The guy's gonna get a title shot. It's not far fetched. And as long as you tell me a good story, and I keep repeating myself, I know I sound like a broken record, but as long as you tell me a good story, I really don't care who's in the ring at this point anymore. I want a good story. And those guys can tell a good story if you take the chains off of them, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So.
Cool.
All right. And I wonder if this is kind of like, you know, like an episode of Raw that happened this past Monday. Granted, I didn't see it, but it seemed like a lot more people responded better to them just talking normally as opposed to portraying a character.
Yeah.
Even my friend who, you know, I mentioned earlier in the episode, you know, he was like doing the play-by-play for me, and he was watching also, you know, Seth Rollins, you know, talk, and he was just kind of like relaying to me. He's like, you know, this guy actually seems like a nice guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm wondering, you know, if that may be a possible better direction for these, for, you know, companies like the WWE rather, in this instance, you know, to, you know, go with guys just being who they are, making it more, you know, athletic based. But, you know, that's probably going to be a long shot, just because, you know, since the dawn of time, this company has been very hokey. And what was that? I was listening to the Austin podcast, as I mentioned. And there was a listener calling in, talking with Stone Cold, saying, like, hey, are they ever going to bring it back to wrestling? You know, from what I remember, even from like the 70s and the 60s, it wasn't wrestling. It was always sports entertainment. And, you know, even back then when it was the WWWF, you know, it wasn't really considered like a workers' territory. You know, it was all the NW. Granted, at one point it was an NWA territory, but, you know, it never really showcased, you know, professional wrestling that, you know, people knew and loved for the most part. So, I don't know. I'm just me thinking right here. Maybe that could be possibly a better way for them to, you know, portray these athletes that are in these roles, because obviously a lot of them are shit actors in not in a fun or entertaining way, but they're like really good hands in the ring.
I think you could be right. And I think the with Reigns, I think he still could be injured. Because a double hernia is nothing to, you know, sweep aside. No. And he came back too quick, in my opinion, from something like that.
Well, guys, I mean, those guys are in tip-top shape. I mean, I remember, like, Kurt Angle's a good example of that. That guy breaks stuff, and he comes back within, like, he's like a machine, you know? I think it just depends on the person and the severity of the injury, you know? But, listen, man, you get your boy back at WrestleMania. You're definitely gonna probably gonna get a Sting spot, so that's pretty cool.
Oh, I can't wait! I've got all my shirts lined up ready.
Good, good, and it's gonna be a good couple of months here for us too. So we'll just set everybody up for that. So
that's gonna be cool.
Absolutely. Anything else before we let you go, sir?
No, it's fine, mate. Yeah, it's cool phoning him finally.
Yeah,
made my debut. So.
Yeah, man. Thanks for calling in. Well, when you stay up late with us, don't be shy. You know, call in.
Yeah.
All right, brother. Good talking to you. We'll talk to you later.
Cool. Good hearing you call in, man. Thanks.
See you, man. Bye.
Ah, that's cool. Harry finally
got calling at 3:30 in the morning.
I was talking to Harry the other day. He was getting a Skype together, and I was out shopping. I'm like, give me a little while to get home. And I gave him a test on Skype, and we sat and talked for like almost an hour. So, good kid, man.
Nice.
It's a good egg. All right.
Yeah, man. That's why he's on the American side of things these days.
So, before we pull this train in, again, the Ranty Awards this Friday night, 9 p.m. I will be checking in around 10. I'm going to be doing my shitty commute as always. Vote for us. Vote for all of us that are involved.
Vote for me.
Vote for Dave. Vote for me.
I won't even be able to listen to the Ranties. I'm going to be out that night.
Matt Squires is up for an award. Vote for him. Vote for Tank. February 4th, we'll be opening up Black History Month for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Hopefully we'll get Pastor to come in for that. Special programming note, NXT TakeOver is February 11th. Dave and I will be doing the pre-show at 7 p.m. And then right after that, we'll do a two-hour throwback, and then we'll do the post-show. So it's a lot of radio that night.
Hey, man, was it Mr. Rex was telling me earlier today that NXT is coming to Ohio
yes.
to do a house show?
Yeah, so, oh, man, see now.
Of all places, Ohio.
I hope they film and Mr. X gets to wear the shirt, be on TV. That'd be pretty dope.
I would love to see that.
See a Turnbuckle Throwback shirt and sign on NXT.
See a grown man screaming Turnbuckle Throwbacks on television.
I will send him a bunch of prizes. Speaking of prizes, congrats to Howie, my Uncle Howie. He won the Royal Rumble contest.
Yeah, and I think he left a comment saying, what did I win?
Yeah, he said.
In the sense that he didn't even know that he signed up for it.
Right, so he said, I want to, so he.
And he said, congrats for what?
Right, so he messaged me, he's like, what did I pass? You picked the number, you idiot. He's like, oh, that's right. He's old, so he's a wrestling fan, he supports us, so thanks, Uncle Jay, I love you. Congrats to you. And that's pretty much it, man. I think I mentioned everything. Go to turnbucklethrowbacks.com. I haven't put the last couple episodes up there. I haven't gotten around to it, but everything else is up there. All the links to all our friend shows are up there, so support the Shining Wizards Network, support Ranty and Radio, support Geeks of the Industry, Don Tony, Kevin Castle, Wrestling Soup, The Bloke Show, Will Sweeney's new podcast, That Awful Podcast, every Monday on morelikeradio.com, so support him. And that's pretty much it. Dave, anything else before we pull the train?
Think about doing a new contest sometime soon.
All right. Well, I'm sure you'll
have some ideas. We'll talk about it soon.
Yeah. All right. So with that being said, we'll be back next week. Black History Month. Same bad time. Same bad channel.
Same black time. Same black channel.
That's right. Guys, thank you for hanging out with us tonight. Thanks to Harry Conan hanging out with us till fucking 3 in the morning over there. Thanks everybody on the download. Thanks for the love and support, and keep this train rolling. Avoid the clap, obviously. Don't get arrested. Be kind to animals, and go kiss your mom. Good night, guys.
Peace.